kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I'd like to share with you something the Lord's laid on my heart. There may be several teachings of this, but again, we'll go as the Lord leads on this. And we're calling our teaching today, Will God Be Able to Reap a Harvest from Me? Will God be able to reap a harvest from me? We know that life, and particularly the Christian walk, is about what you sow. And the Bible tells us what you sow is what you reap. And this is why God calls us to the Word. He calls us to read and study and partake of the Word, because we know that the Word became flesh through Jesus Christ in order that we will sow for the glory of God and not sow for self. And there is a difference. And that's why I'm calling this teaching, Will God Be Able to Reap a Harvest from Me? You see, as we know, the word is the seed, isn't it? And we know this from the parable of the sower. You see, a harvest can't be reaped if there isn't seed that is planted. It's just not possible. A harvest can only be reaped when seed is put firmly into the ground. That's just common sense. You see, a farmer has to be sure that seed is planted. And he has to make sure when he's ploughing and when he's harvesting, when he's planting that seed, that it has to be placed thorough. Now we know, of course, that when they sow seed, they also sow enough for birds as well, because they do come and eat some of the seed. But he has to be assured that what he has done in the way of sowing seed is going to bring forth that harvest. What is the point of doing it otherwise? And really, one can say this exactly the same to the Christian. What is the point of me being a believer, a Christian, if I don't reap that harvest for the glory of God? You see, God has made us productive. Faith, which comes by hearing, we're told we're not only to be hearers, but doers of the word. And the doing of the word is the reaping, the harvest. That is why Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit can only be achieved and worked in my life when I am in the Word of God and allowing the seed of God's Word to be sown into my heart, that is, in the soil, for a harvest to be reaped. And we should be, brothers and sisters, at that place of maturity now where we should know and are experiencing that this word which we read, which we hear, is being planted into the heart. Now, what does Psalm 107 verse 20 tell us? Psalm 107 and verse 20. And here God spoke to the children of Israel, and this is what he said. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That is the word of God speaking to the children of Israel. And God gave the word to them in order that that would be sown in their hearts. And the harvest that is reaped from that is the believing and acting upon the word. And in this case, he says he sent his word and he healed them. And indeed, he did. But of course, we all know the story so well. It wasn't enough. They complained and griped and moaned, and they perished in the wilderness. And God raised a new generation to go in and possess the land. So, is the seed planted into us that God wants to heal and bless? That is the question, because when we embrace the promises of God's word, these promises are to bless, to preserve, to keep us, to heal us, to meet all our needs. You know it, you read it, it's all there. You see, so often we say, the Lord is able to heal me, or able to bless me. But, you know, that's like a farmer saying he's able to give me a harvest without any seed being planted or watered. That's really what we're saying. It's easy to say, well, the Lord heals, he's able to do it. Yes, he's able to save my loved ones. He's able to restore me, to raise me up, and all these promises. But that isn't really faith at all. That harvest can't be reaped with that confession. As I said, it's like the farmer who hasn't sown any seed. He hasn't planted or watered. He hasn't really taken the bother. So is he really going to reap a harvest? That's the question. You see, we want to reap a harvest. They are the blessings of God's word. But are we actually sowing seed? Are we allowing the seed into our hearts, into the soil, to bring forth that fruit, that harvest? That is the question. That is why I say that the parable of the sower is one of the greatest parables Jesus gave. You see, a man can't be saved unless he knows it's God's will. You couldn't be saved unless you knew it was God's will. Is it God's will that we should be saved? Is it God's will that we should be here tonight, fellowshipping in this room? Is it his will or isn't it? We know that it is his will. So why isn't it his will to bless us, to heal us, to enable us to be able to walk by faith and not by sight? Think about it, brothers and sisters. Sometimes this is so easy. That's why we miss it. It is God's will to heal us and to deliver us. He's given it in the atonement. It is God's will to bless us with homes. He says, I'll bless you with houses, lands, brothers, sisters, and persecutions. He says he will give us work. He'll give us jobs to provide. He'll give us good health. He'll put that food on our table. He will meet all those needs. And the only way that will happen is when you allow the seed of God's word into your heart. So the question is, do you know you are sowing seed? That's why I'm calling this, will God be able to reap a harvest from me? Do you know you are reaping seed? Do you know this evening, as you're listening to this word, this is sowing seed into my heart? for a harvest to come forth in God's right time and way? That is the question, brothers and sisters. And if you really mean business, if that is really what you want, then you pay the price for it. It's called discipleship. It's called the deeper life. You see, you have to be completely rid of any uncertainty concerning God's word, concerning his will. God has got to deliver us of any reservations, any uncertainties with regard to his will. And how do I know his will? I get into the word of God. I listen to the word of God. That is how I get to know God's will. It's interesting, you know, but faith cannot extend beyond one's knowledge of the revealed word of God. And sometimes you're trying to get a faith that is not revealed to you, or you have not read in the word of God. And I've met Christians who are like that. And you listen to it and you think, well, that isn't in the word, what they're saying. Why are they believing that? And this, of course, is where deceiving and doctrinal demons can get in. But if we are receiving the purity of God's word and the anointing through the Holy Spirit, that keeps these demons at bay, so that we are able to receive that seed into our hearts, into the ground, and in that time a harvest will come forth. And a harvest is always a blessing. That is the nature of harvest. The nature of harvest reveals that where workers have worked on the land, they've labored, they've toiled, now they will see the fruit of their labor. And then the harvest will come in. This is why God will receive the harvest set upon the altar. He always received first a 10% of the harvest in the Old Testament. And that was always a sign of what is coming, what is following. Now, what is that harvest that we present, brothers and sisters? It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present yourself as a living sacrifice upon the altar. That is what you are placing. You are placing yourself on that altar and you're saying, this is the harvest, Lord, that is coming in for your glory. My life, my devotion, my consecration, my commitment, my walk, my faith, my separation from the world. That's what we are saying to him, for the very purpose that a harvest will come forth from me, from you, from this assembly. So before you step out in faith, you need to know God's will. Is it God's will to heal me and to bless me? Is it his will to restore me, to make me whole? We know it's God's will to save our soul, our whole being. Oh, we're assured of that, but we're not so assured, are we, about will he heal me physically? Will he keep me? Will he restore me? We're not always so sure about that, and our actions prove it. That's why Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God. You have to get this seed into your hearts for the harvest to come forth, as it's not going to work. You can't get it out in the world. You can't get it out trusting in the arm of the flesh and not trusting in the Lord. You can't get that seed from those means. And not only that, but the seed must remain in the ground. And not only remain in the ground, but be watered. So the seed is not only sown into the heart, the ground, but it has to be watered. And what is the watering, brothers and sisters? Well, it's exactly what God's doing now, tonight, in this meeting. The word of God, which we hear, we read, it's watering. It's refreshing us. It's washing us. It's making us clean. And that's how it works. And I make no apology for this, because this is what God has purposed. He set this in motion for the believer, for this very thing. God isn't going to, he's not going to answer prayers if it be thy will. Because it's not planting seed, the seed into our hearts. It's not the seed of God's word. If it be thy will, that is not God's word. And yet you hear most Christians talking in that way. In fact, it destroys it. Do you know sometimes when we talk negatively, when we talk contrary to the word of God, we are destroying God's word. What comes out of our mouth. And we need to be on our guard with this, brothers and sisters. It's contrary to faith. It's contrary to the revealed will of God. And this is why we labour in the word. We labour to find out what his will is. And his will is to restore me, to heal me, to make me whole. No, not when I'm in heaven, in this life. What did Peter say in his address to the children of Israel? In 1 Peter 2:24, you know this well. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we have died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For we were like sheep going astray, but having now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Here we are. He says it there. Who himself bore our sins in his own body, there he is, the sin offering, bearing the punishment, the guilt in his body, his flesh, for the purpose that having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. So we live to his righteousness, and that righteousness is imputed to us. We are made right by the love and mercy of God. And not only are we made right, but he gives us his word, his promises. And in those promises, he says also that by my stripes you were healed at Calvary. That means physical healing as well. And many want to dismiss that. No. It's talking about the physical in the inner man, the heart. Yes, God always works first in the heart, but he also works for the flesh as well. Why does he work with the flesh? Because he says your body's a living temple and God dwells within our bodies. And he's interested in the whole man, body, soul and spirit. He died for the whole man. Now, what are you going to believe? Are you going to allow the seed of God's word to be planted in your heart on that statement? Or are you going to question it? Or are you going to excuse yourself, well, if it be his will? Well, find out what his will is by getting into the word of God for the very purpose that he's able to reap a harvest from you and I. That is the nature of the seed of the word, to be planted into our hearts, to bring forth that fruit, that harvest in my life. Else how will the world Christians know that we are Christian? That is the tragedy today of the contemporary church. It is so much like the world. It acts, it dresses, it looks like the world. And it goes to the arm of the flesh like the world does as well. What testimony does that give? God saved us to be above all of that, to be other than that. Our salvation, brothers and sisters, is supernatural. It's not what the world can give. Only God can change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And we should be seeing the supernatural happening in our lives, because the seed of God's word is supernatural. It's not a natural seed. This is not a natural book. This is not natural reading. It is supernatural. And I think we're losing sight of that. And we must come back and watch. We mustn't lose sight of our first love. Because the seed must remain in the ground and be watered. And the watering is the word of God that waters. Because faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God, Romans 10:17. You see, those who just excuse themselves, well, if it'll be his will or not, that is the seed of the world. Did you know the world has a seed? Did you know the enemy plants seed? He does it. Everything that God does, he counterfeits as well. So we have a choice. What are we going to listen to? What are we going to believe? Are we going to listen to the reports? Are we going to listen to all these negative news reports? Or are we going to believe and hear and listen what the Holy Spirit is saying? That is the question. God is speaking to the church. Let he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Most can't even discern what the Holy Spirit is saying today, because they're so worldly, they're so involved in the world, they rely so much on the world and the world's resources. And that is the problem, because they do not have the seed of God's word in their hearts. You see, it destroys it otherwise. It's just contrary to faith. And that's why Peter confidently states here that by his stripes we were healed at Calvary. It's true. I believe what he says there. It's absolutely true. You see, seed is powerless until it is planted. This word is absolutely powerless unless you want to receive it into your hearts and believe. Otherwise, it's futile. What is the point? What is the point of even going to church or listening to the word or coming into a room like this? There's no point at all unless the power of God's seed is planted into our hearts. And then he will start to water. Then he will begin to work. And then in time we begin to see a harvest, a fruit. You begin to see, yes, I am believing in the promises of God. Yes, God is answering my prayers. Yes, he raised me up from my sick bed. Yes, I didn't have to go to the arm of the flesh. I trusted him and he provided. God wants to do that in your life and my life. He wants to prove himself that he is faithful. But we hinder him because we don't want to do it his way. We still want to be in control. And there's the problem. You know, so often we say, oh, pray for me. And there's a place to pray, don't get me wrong, brothers and sisters. But maybe sometimes we need to be absolutely honest and humble and say, how about pray for me that the seed, say for healing and blessing, will be planted into my heart. I think sometimes asking for that would be more effective, and it shows a sign that we still have need of getting that seed into our hearts. You see, why am I stressing this so much? Because I am seeing the signs. I am seeing what is coming on the earth. I am seeing that there is coming a time now where you cannot even rely anymore on medical science. We're seeing how they cannot cope. It's quite clear NHS is finding it very hard to cope. These are all signs to the overcomer that we are to trust God. Now, this is nothing new. The Lord has been saying this for years and years and years in his love and grace and mercy. We are moving into times now that were not 3-4 years ago. We are finding a rapid changing taking place before our very eyes. And this is not the time to run away or be afraid or whatever, because God will provide until he comes to rapture the church. Until then, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. I read today in the Jerusalem Post, and I said to you about 3 years ago that these vaccines will alter your DNA. Well, lo and behold, we have read exactly what is happening, because a DNA vaccine now has been produced. They're calling it ZyCoV-D. And the Indians have produced this DNA vaccine, and they are using software. It's called a software blueprint of the virus that is going to be injected into one. So here we are, the next tool to fight against COVID-19, which is nothing more than very bad flu and pneumonia. But look how deceptive the Antichrist is, and how the Antichrist system is working. We're beginning to see it rising up now, brothers and sisters, through the new reset. So it's not only gene therapy RNA, but it's now therapy for the new DNA. And I said to you over 3 years ago that that will be instrumental in the mark of the beast that will be planted into you to alter, to change how God created and made you. It's there. It was just a question of time in which to bring this out. And I knew that this would come in light of all this mass vaccine, because they have seen how the world has fallen for it. They've fallen for the fear, the confusion and everything. And so it's right now to bring the next stage development in all of this. This is why it is so important that we take of the seed of God's word. Will God be able to reap a harvest from me? That is the important question. God doesn't lie over his word. He has provided for us wholeness in mind, body and spirit. Yes, there are delays. Yes, God doesn't always heal straight away or bless straight away. We know that. It's Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. It's waiting for the manifestation. There's nothing new in that. We have taught that to you for years and years. But God is faithful, and he will prove his faithfulness as things get harder and harder for the Christian, and it's going to be. God knows that there are many things that we cannot adhere to or bow the knee to in all of this, so he will provide. God always provides in the situations because he's faithful. The children of Israel, a whole nation, were in the wilderness. No water, no sanitation. How can you take people, infants, babies, into a hot desert? It's impossible. You don't do that. But God did it. And God provided. And the soles of their shoes, none of them wore out for 40 years. And the same God who called that nation is the same God today and the same God of these promises. And he still provides and he will still look after us. Hallelujah. And this seed is powerless unless it's planted into the heart. It's no use otherwise. No use. What does he say in Hebrews 6:11-12? Hebrews chapter 6 and 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So there we are. Yes, it is patience. No, we don't always get it straight away. But he says that you will. And that we're to show this diligence. We're not to go to sleep like the foolish virgins did. We're working to get that extra oil in our vessels. That's what this is about. So that we can remain faithful and stand firm until he comes and raptures the church. Because the foolish virgins won't be ready. Their lights have gone out. And they've gone back trying to find that extra oil. Because we can't give the oil to them. We need every bit of oil for ourselves, but we can show where we got it from. And where do we get it from? The Word of God, the seed of God's Word. That is where we get it from. Faith comes by hearing. We stay with it. We're patient. We endure to the end. This many times we don't understand. We don't know where God is leading us next, but all we know is we keep our eyes on him. We don't take our eyes off. And wherever he goes, we go, because we follow the Lamb. What does it say in Hebrews 10:35-36? Hebrews 10:35-36. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence or faith, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Are you waiting on God for healing, for finances, for a job, or whatever it is? There it is. Stay with it. Endure. So that you may receive the promise. God has promised. I haven't promised. I'm simply relating to you what he says. and I choose to believe it. You can't look at sight, you can't look at your circumstances, you can't go by your feelings, none at all. God has promised. And that's it. He will do it. What does it say as I bring it to a close? We know these well, Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I love this. This is one of the things God gave me shortly after I was saved. Proverbs 4, 20, 23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are light to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your hearts with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And he goes on to put away a deceitful mouth. There you are. Look what he says there. For they are life to those who find them. That is the word of God. And health to all their flesh. It's health to you. It's health to your flesh. And he says the secret is keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, keep close accounts. If you've said anything or you've sinned or whatever it is, confess it. Get it under the blood. Don't wait. Don't leave it till tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. That's what he's saying there. You see, we've got to start to reap where his word is concerned. We've got to start reaping this health and blessing to our flesh, because we still live in the flesh until he comes for us. It doesn't matter what the trial is. Whatever the trial, whatever the situation I'm going through, it must become health to my soul. Because God always works with the soul, the heart, then the flesh. That's how this seed of this word works. That's how it works, brothers and sisters. This word must become health, wholeness in mind, body and spirit to us. Don't settle for anything less than that, as you have not embraced the deeper life and what was once given to us. God does not change. And all he said as I close now, it just takes even a mustard seed of faith, and this mountain shall be cast into the sea. Our Father loves us, and he wants to glorify his name in and through us and through this assembly. And we must start to reap a harvest, both individually and corporately. Our spirit, what is the point of labouring in this word? What is the point of listening to this if it doesn't produce the works in my life? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we know that faith comes by hearing. We know, Lord, we need to be admonished at times, because that is a sign you love us. It is a sign you mean business with us. It is also a sign that you've not given up on us, even if it means chastening or whatever. Father, do it so that we conform to your will. Father, may we be diligent over the seed of this word, as it's continued to be planted into our hearts, that nothing there is hindering, and that we allow the watering of that seed to bring forth growth, harvest, and a reaping in due season. Father, grant this to us, we ask now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
So disaster, let him in constancy fall.